Lesson 60, Doctrine and Covenants, Section 56. Introduction. Ezra Thayer was assigned to live and work along with Joseph Smith Sr. on Frederick G. Williams' farm in Kirtland, Ohio. Brother Thayer also helped pay for some of the debt owed on the land. In early June 1831, he and Thomas B. Marsh were called on a mission to Missouri. Because of pride and selfishness, Brother Thayer was unprepared to leave with Brother Marsh. In the revelation recorded in Doctrine and Covenants, Section 56, received on June 15th, the Lord revoked Brother Thayer's call and assigned a new companion for Brother Marsh. The Lord warned against pride and taught the saints that He has much more in store for them than land and money. Suggestions for teaching. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 56, verses 1 through 13. The Lord revokes Ezra Thayer's mission call and warns him to repent. Ask students if they know someone who gave up something important in order to obey one of the Lord's commandments. Examples could include someone sacrificing to join the church, to go on a mission, or to obey certain standards of the church. Invite a few students to share their examples. Explain that in June 1831, the Lord called Ezra Thayer to serve a mission in Missouri with Thomas B. Marsh. Brother Thayer's concerns over property and money caused him to be unprepared to leave when Brother Marsh was ready, so Brother Marsh went to Joseph Smith to ask what to do. When the prophet inquired of the Lord answered him with the revelation recorded in Doctrine and Covenants, Section 56. Invite a student to read Doctrine and Covenants, Section 56, verses 1 and 2 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for what the Lord said about those who refuse to obey His commandments. What did the Lord say about those who refuse to obey His commandments? Write the following incomplete statement on the board. To be saved, we must blank. Invite students to complete the statement according to verse 2. Students may use different words, but they should identify the following principle. To be saved, we must take up our cross, follow the Savior, and keep His commandments. Complete the principle on the board. What do you think it means to take up our cross? To help students understand this phrase, you may want to invite them to read the Joseph Smith translation of Matthew 16, verse 24, found in Matthew 16, 24, footnote E. What commandments has the Lord given that require you to take up your cross and make sacrifices to be obedient? Some examples can be found in For the Strength of Youth. What blessings have you received, or will you receive, because you choose to be obedient? Ask in what ways people in the following examples could take up their crosses and obey the Lord's commandments. Number 1. A young man is approaching the age when he will be able to serve a mission. He worries about everything he will leave behind when he serves. Number 2. A young woman knows that the youth in her ward will be visiting the temple in a few months, but she doesn't have a temple recommend. There is something in her life right now that will prevent her from receiving one. Explain that if we choose not to take up our cross, we may lose opportunities to bless others and receive blessings ourselves. Invite a student to read Doctrine and Covenants, Section 56, verses 3 through 5 aloud. Ask the class to look for what happened because Ezra Thayer was not ready to go to Missouri. Before students read, you may want to explain that the word revoke means to take back or cancel. What did Ezra Thayer lose because he was not ready to go? He lost his chance to serve the mission as well as receive the blessings that would have resulted. According to verse 4, what can the Lord do with commandments He gives? Students should identify the following principle. The Lord can give a commandment or revoke a commandment as He sees fit. Ask students if they can think of examples from the Scriptures or church history of the Lord giving and then revoking a command. The following are a few examples. Number 1. After the Lord offered a higher law to Moses and his people, the children of Israel rebelled and began worshiping a golden calf. The Lord then gave them a lesser law. Number 2. During the Savior's mortal ministry, He sent apostles only to members of the house of Israel. Shortly after the Savior's resurrection, he told the apostles to preach the gospel to people of all nations. Number 3. In this dispensation, the Lord commanded some of the early saints to practice plural marriage. The prophet Joseph Smith and many other church leaders found this commandment difficult, but they obeyed it. After receiving revelation, President Wilford Woodruff issued the Manifesto, which was accepted by the church as authoritative and binding on October 6, 1890. This led to the end of the practice of plural marriage in the church. Summarize Doctrine and Covenants, section 56, verses 6 through 7, by explaining that the Lord also changed the mission calls of Selah J. Griffin and Newell Knight. Remind students that due to the difficulties caused by Lehman Copley in Thompson, Ohio, the Colville Saints were directed to move to Missouri. They asked the prophet Joseph Smith if they could make the move with Newell Knight leading them, as he had since they left Colesville. Newell Knight had been called to serve with Selah J. Griffin prior to these difficulties, so the Lord directed Selah J. Griffin to take Ezra Thayer's place as Thomas B. Marsh's companion, and Newell Knight to stay with the Colesville Saints. Invite a student to read Doctrine and Covenants, section 56, verses 8 through 11 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for what the Lord commanded Ezra Thayer to do after his mission call was revoked. What did the Lord say would happen if Ezra Thayer repented? What would happen if he did not repent? Explain that Ezra chose to repent and 7 months later was called again to serve as a missionary with Thomas B. Marsh. Doctrine and Covenants, section 56, verses 14 through 20. The Lord warns the saints against greediness and prideful hearts. Ask students to imagine they have a friend who has sinned and is feeling bad. The friend comes to them and asks, "What do I need to do to repent?" Give students time to ponder and respond. After they respond, invite a student to read Doctrine and Covenants, section 56, verses 14 through 15 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for attitudes and actions that prevent our sins from being pardoned or forgiven. According to Doctrine and Covenants, section 56, verses 14 through 15, what attitudes or actions prevent our sins from being pardoned or forgiven? What do you think the phrase, "counsel in your own ways," means? What does the phrase, "your hearts are not satisfied," suggest? It implies not being content with what you have. What can we learn from verses 14 and 15 about what is necessary in order to repent and receive forgiveness? Students may identify a variety of principles, but be sure to emphasize the following truth. Repentance includes obeying the Lord's counsel and turning away from unrighteous desires. You may want to invite students to write this truth in their Scriptures Near Doctrine and Covenants, section 56, verses 14 through 15. Why are obedience and turning away from unrighteousness necessary in true repentance? Explain that repentance is not just about following a set of steps, but requires a full change of heart, a commitment to obey the Lord and turn away from all unrighteousness. When this revelation was received, it appears that Ezra Thayer's selfishness and pride were preventing him from obeying the Lord's counsel. How can a person's pride affect his or her ability to have a repentant heart? Invite students to read Doctrine and Covenants, section 56, verses 16 through 17 with a partner. Ask one partner to look for how an unrepentant heart can be manifest in someone who is rich. Ask the other partner to look for how an unrepentant heart can be manifest in someone who is poor. You might suggest they mark what they find. Ask students to explain what they discovered to their partners and then discuss the following question together. You may want to write them on the board. What similarities can you see in the unrepentant hearts of both the rich and the poor? Why can greed be a common trait in both the rich and poor? Ask students to ponder when they may have seen these kinds of attitudes manifest in their own lives or in the lives of those they know. Invite a student to read Doctrine and Covenants, section 56, verse 18 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for words that describe the hearts of those who will be blessed. According to verse 18, what should our hearts be like? What does it mean to have a broken heart? What about a contrite spirit? These terms denote humility and submission to the Lord. If our hearts have been greedy and proud, how can we change? Invite students to continue reading Doctrine and Covenants, section 56, verses 19 and 20 with their partners. Ask them to look for blessings the Lord promised to those with humble hearts. You might suggest that they mark what they find. Write the following incomplete statement on the board. Those with humble hearts will blank. According to verses 18 through 20, what blessings complete this sentence on the board? As students identify the blessings mentioned in these verses, write them on the board. You may want to explain that the word recompense refers to rewards for good deeds and punishment for unrighteous actions. Explain that under the law of consecration, the portion given to an individual or family, according to their circumstances, was called an inheritance. It is likely that during the early practice of this law, some of the saints, like Ezra Thayer, became overly anxious about receiving their inheritance. Write the words, "My inheritance," next to the blessings listed on the board. From what we have listed, how would you summarize the blessings the Lord has in store for those with humble hearts? Students may use different words, but they should identify the following principle. Those with humble hearts will inherit the earth. How do the blessings described in verses 18 through 20 compare to the property and money Ezra Thayer and other early saints may have been anxious about? Testify of the blessings or inheritance the Lord has in store for us as we deny ourselves of unrighteousness and commit to follow His commandments. Commentary and background information. Doctrine and Covenants, section 56, verse 19. The Lord will bring recompense for the humble in heart. The following statement by Elder Joseph B. Werthelin of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles teaches the principle of compensation, which is included in the promise of recompense from the Savior. Quote, "The Lord compensates the faithful for every loss. That which is taken away from those who love the Lord will be added unto them in His own way. While it may not come at the time we desire, the faithful will know that every tear today will eventually be returned 100-fold with tears of rejoicing and gratitude." End quote.